This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's the first Sunday in December. What is that? It's the second. 23 days till Christmas. But it's still autumn to those of us Tony Rice fans. Tony Rice, California Autumn. One of the nicest, most beautiful songs on Bluegrass Sunday morning I've heard in a while. All right. 11:01 on the wake-up call. You are listening to 91.9 in the Charlottesville, Albemarle area and Lovingston's new 94.7. Let's take a moment and thank some of the folks who helped make this possible, like Five Guys Burgers and Fries. Five Guys serves America standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and they're open till 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. That's Five Guys Burgers and Fries behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. You can find them in the Hollymead Town Center and on the Downtown Mall here in Charlottesville. On the web, it's fiveguys.com. Spell it, F-I-V-E-guys.com. All right, a very interesting, informative, and possibly upsetting topic for the day about personal privacy. Write your numbers down, boys and girls. Stretch out those fingers because you're going to want to dial up, I think, and ask some questions. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Let's introduce our guests, as always, even though it's against today's usual policy of ladies first. Let's start with that evil mixer that always tosses us some trouble. Marty Peterman here in the studio. Marty, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rick. How are you doing?
I love Michael Strickland. Everything's set up properly. Marty, I'm doing well. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
Especially on such a nice Sunday.
Indeed.
I mean, people give up their hour, but on nice Sundays, even more well-beloved in my heart. Marty Peterman, I have you down as IT Security and Policy Officer at UVA.
I'm an IT Security Specialist.
What the hell does that mean?
Well, it means I try to know something about IT security. I try not to know that much about policy, though.
Internet technology?
That works.
What does IT stand for?
Information technology.
Information technology. So you know all about information.
Exactly.
Like what?
Well, I know my age, my name, things like that. But in addition to those things...
How old are you?
I am 43 years old.
What's your name?
Martin Dan Peterman.
See, you're already sharing information that in the rest of the hour you're going to tell me not to share with people.
That's public directory information. That's completely different.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, smart guy from UVA. Also with us, Aaron Paula Thompson, from UVA's Community Credit Union. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And what does that title refer to in your job? What do you do?
I am responsible for making sure that our staff, our community, and all of our members are aware of how to protect themselves online and with their personal information.
How to protect themselves. That's really, I mean, that's the main focus of your job?
Well, I do a lot of other training on other topics on financial literacy also.
And UVA Community Credit Union represents how many people?
We have about 50,000 members at this time.
Really?
Yeah. We're a community credit union, so as long as you live or work in our field of membership, which includes Charlottesville, Albemarle, Green, Flaviana, Louisa, Madison, Nelson, and Orange, you're eligible for membership.
Huh. Okay. I think a lot of people assume that UVA means that you either work there or you're a family member somehow involved.
We run into that quite a bit.
Yeah?
That's why we like to stress the community part of our name.
Okay. And the two of you do not work together in terms of your full-time paying jobs, do you?
No, we don't.
Okay. But you're both members of this advocacy group, Who's Watching Charlottesville? What's the proper name of the group?
That works. Who's Watching Charlottesville? It's a consortium of the UVA Community Credit Union, PVCC, Albemarle County Government, Albemarle County Schools, Charlottesville City Schools, and Charlottesville Government, as well as University of Virginia.
Who's left out? who, and I, obviously I would assume that this advocacy group would want everyone to participate and to learn more and to do as much as possible. But who is next on the list? You're like, oh, if we could just get them. Well, I mean, State Farm is a huge group in this area.
It is. And we would look to serve them as opposed to have them as a part of our group. So, I mean, when you have this sort of group, you have to target your population, and you also have to consider, you know, the health of your group and what your group's purpose is. And so we've founded around nonprofits.
How about Martha Jefferson Hospital?
They would definitely be someone we would invite into our fold.
Because we're kind of a speakers panel that speaks around the community. So we have kind of some subject matter experts in all areas that can go out to any of these employers and bring our presentation.
Okay. And is your organization looking to expand regionally? Because, Aaron Paula, you listed a number of counties. It sounds like the Thomas Jefferson district pretty much, but WNRN is also now, we're in Harrisonburg, we're in Lexington, we're in Lynchburg and Richmond. You mentioned Nelson County, correct?
So yes, we're, sir.
So, and the Lovingston folks on 94.7 hopefully are all just bound to their radios at the moment. But whether or not you would, this group wants to expand, or maybe sort of send out a budding creation to some of these other areas. Are there other organizations like this?
There's an organization in Rochester, New York. So we're the only two cities in the country who are tackling this problem in this way. And in terms of do we want to grow? Well, we're having to manage our success right now. And we're asking those questions. Of course we want to grow. How do we want to grow? We received an invitation from Fredericksburg, Virginia to come up there and put on what we do. And we really couldn't do it. We don't have the provisioning to go that far afoot. And if we get any more requests like of that sort, I think we'd be interested in inviting them to our meetings and teaching them how we do it so they could sort of clone our process in their community.
Well, let's, you know, start from the beginning. How did this organization come about, and exactly what is your mission?
Well, I guess it would have been about how many months ago now, Aaron Paula, would that have been?
It's probably 14 or 15 months ago, because we've gone through two Octobers.
Yes, so 14, 15 months ago, my boss said, hey, wouldn't it be great if we could get something going on in the community whereby Joe Q Public, and when they pick up their coffee in the morning, they saw some cybersecurity stuff. They were listening to WNRN, and they heard some cybersecurity information. They heard it on TV that night. They got it from their school student, or, you know, from the child coming home from school that day. And so it was sort of this 24-hour blitz of cybersecurity. And so we took that idea and turned it into who we are. And while we didn't do a 24-hour blitz, we did a month-long blitz of cybersecurity information. We had press releases, we had news coverage, we had TV media, and this year was a rolling success, and we have requests going out into the spring to come and give presentations.
You are listening to WNRN's Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Aaron Paula Thompson from UVA's Community Credit Union, Marty Peterman, IT Security Officer at the University of Virginia. 1110 here on the Wake Up Call. Feel free to dial up when you have a question, 979-0919. Michael Strickland's out there. He'll pass you through today, producing the show, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. All right, the phrase cybersecurity keeps coming up. I'm curious. I would think that most people who have a computer understand the term cybersecurity, like, you know, hey, don't be giving away your credit card number. But I'm curious as to some of the basics. Because to me, okay, I don't give away my social security number to somebody. I don't fall for that trick about, click here because we lost your credit card information. But what else are some of the some of the more basic things? Oh, don't write a check and send it to the guy in Nigeria. You know, I read about that a lot. But what else? What are we talking about here?
You won the lottery, huh?
How many times did you win it, Rick?
Well, let's just say that I'm still here every Sunday.
We actually cover quite a few topics. One is we cover some of the basics of identity theft. So how does it happen? How can you prevent it? And we also touch lightly on what do you do if you feel that you have become a victim of identity theft. We also talk about protecting yourself online and how to identify phishing scams. They've become
phishing,
very prevalent.
P-H-I-S-H.
Correct.
What does that have to do with the band from Vermont, by the way? How did they get dragged into this?
I don't know. Can you dial up Wikipedia there? I think I'm going to have to learn that myself.
All right, let me take a phone call real quick, and we'll get that started. We got Doug in Richmond. Hey, Doug.
Hey, man, what's happening?
Doing all right, man. What's happening down in Richmond?
Not much. Got a little ice last night. Went out at 9 o'clock, locked up the shed, and there's some kind of ice coming down. But nothing happening now. It's just cloudy.
Well, so what's your cybersecurity question to Aaron, Paula, and Marty?
Well, it's not actually cyber. I don't know if this pertains to y'all or not, but how can you find out if your phone's being tapped?
Well, I don't hear any clicking when you're talking to me, Doug.
Does it click?
Marty?
Well,
Aaron, Paula?
When you're watching the movies, you hear that little click in the background.
I've had a lot of problems here with the phone lately, and I know they're doing work around here, but one year I called this guy, and I had to empty the diesel tank, the fuel oil tank. We were switching over to electric heat pump, and I asked him if he wanted this oil for off-road vehicles, you know, and within a week, they were out there checking his equipment, you know, to see if it was fuel oil or kerosene or, I mean, fuel oil or diesel.
Well, you know, probably the best thing you can do is call up your phone company and have them come look at your phone. You know, we don't really get involved in any sort of tapping. We're more involved in protecting people's
and
privacy.
There's bound to be some online sites that you can go to and check out what those folks say to check for, Doug.
Yeah, I don't have a computer, so I don't have to worry about...
Go to the library, man. Library's got them all.
So I don't have to worry about stealing that.
All right, man. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. Dial us up, 978-0919. As you can see, we let anybody come on and ask a question. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Doug listens all the time. And dials us up from Richmond, 1031. All right. That's a good place to start, though. Not necessarily with the phone tapping, but unsecured areas. Because it makes me think of, Doug's question sort of leads me to, obviously he doesn't have any security about his phone. So let's talk about some unsecured wireless, because it was interesting to me. What's the website? Who'swatchingcharlottesville.org?
Correct.
One big, long string. Who'swatchingcharlottesville.org? And it's full of tips and information. But one of the things that I found most interesting, and I guess shocking isn't the right word, but just like, never thought of that, is Wi-Fi. Because it's so much more a part of everyday life for so many people. And you see people sitting at the coffee shops, or we even have one out at Forest Lakes. People can come in and they sit there for a while working on their laptops. Give me some information about hooking up to a Wi-Fi and concerns for that.
Well, you have to understand with computers, you really have so much flexibility. And so your computer can be a receiver, and it can pick up transmissions through the air. So what happens is if there's an unsecured wireless network, someone can use their laptop to record all the transmissions within within the distance of the network card. And so someone can record it all and then look at it later. And what happens if you're an unsecured, unencrypted wireless network, someone can record all those all that traffic and then just play it back and read the text in it. So part of that text would be your password. Part of that text would be your login information.
How many wireless networks are typically unencrypted?
You know, it's impossible to say, but it's interesting. If you've watched some videos on people who do some war driving.
Some what?
War driving.
What the heck is that?
That's when you drive around with your laptop, with a little, you can hook a little antenna to your laptop, you drive around the car, and
you wait for it to be able to connect to whatever Wi-Fi area is within the region.
Yeah, and there's software that you get that will just list all the networks that you can connect to, and it'll just list whether they're, insecure or secure, whether they're encrypted or not encrypted. And so it just really makes it easy. I mean, hacking is very simple if the basic steps are not taken.
But are these – okay, let's go back a minute because we're talking about unsecured wireless networks. We have Marty Peterman, IT security officer at University of Virginia, Aaron Paula Thompson, UVA Community Credit Union, from whoswatchingcharlottesville.org, as we talk about personal privacy and security. Obviously, everyone should take responsibility for themselves. And that's a key part of our conversation for the day. But if you put up a Wi-Fi network with the goal of being of providing a service to people, you're not doing it with any sort of mean intent. Is it your responsibility to make it a secured area?
No, it's sort of a caveat emptor. I've seen in the news where people have been arrested for using wireless networks that they didn't belong to, they didn't own, and so they were just attaching to them, sort of like sitting in the parking lot and using a wireless network. There have been examples where people have been fined for doing that. I've never seen an incident where a business has been fined for not having it secure.
I understand that it would be caveat emptor, but does Starbucks take the time and effort to secure their Wi-Fi and advertise it as such? Or let's take this to on a more local level.
Mm-hmm.
Mudhouse. Mudhouse is a wonderful business here in town. They support an enormous number of local businesses. They buy local. They're charity. I know John and Linnell. But do they say this is a secured system, or anybody else of that type who is providing things on a more local level rather than just a service? Are they taking that next step and saying it's not just a service, it's a safe and secure service, and you can trust us?
Well, depends how they deal with their authentication. So it depends how you attach to the wireless network. Certainly your bigger businesses, you'll authenticate through a web page, and there'll be a privacy policy that you'll have to check before you can use the active internet. So it's really up to the business as to whether they're going to do this or not. I would advise all businesses to do it. It certainly makes sense to have your lawyer, spend a half a day or an hour, or however long it takes him or her to come up with this policy and have everyone check it before they can use it.
All right, 11:20 here on the Wake Up Call. Caller, hang tight for just another 30 seconds or so. Aaron Paula Thompson, Marty Peterman here as we talk about personal privacy. Let me give you the heads up on the markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly cloudy with rain likely this afternoon today. Highs 40 to 45. A little lower 50s in Richmond. Rain tonight, lows 35 to 40. And some mid-40s in Richmond again. Mostly sunny tomorrow, highs 45 to 50. It's clear and part of the listening area, 42 in the valley, 41 in Lynchburg, some clouds and 45 in Richmond, and some clouds in Charlottesville where it's 40.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
Oh, today's programming on WNRN is also supported by Hershey Chocolate of Virginia. Hershey will be accepting applications for full-time department managers who will be expected to play a vital role in maintaining a positive work environment. Applicants must have 5 years of manufacturing experience as well as the ability to work second and third shifts. More info is at hersheys.com/careers. And don't be going anywhere this Friday. Make your plans. The 20th annual Toy Lift this Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. WNRN will be on site at the Fashion Square Mall, Route 29 in Charlottesville, to help support a program that makes Christmas a little brighter every year for many area kids. With your help, this event has been a success for 20 years. That's the 20th annual Toy Lift, Friday at Charlottesville's Fashion Square Mall. For more info, contact the WNRN studio line. All right, back in action, 11:21 on the wake-up call. Aaron Paula Thompson, Marty Peterman. And now we got Rob from Charlottesville. Hey, Rob.
Hello.
Hey.
I've got a question. For my work, and I use a laptop all the time, we have a VPN connection, and I realize that that makes it secure between my laptop and our servers. But if I'm surfing the web and I'm doing my banking, is that secure also through that VPN, or am I still on, if I'm on an unsecured Wi-Fi network, does that still leave me vulnerable for my personal work on Internet Explorer or Foxfire?
Think of your VPN as a tunnel between you and where it is. Otherwise, I would not go to any other place. If you go to a website that's dishing out malware while you're on your VPN, you can cause problems for your company network.
Okay. So I'm on a cell phone, so it's a little hard to hear, but... So I just have to be careful with sites, but if I'm doing my banking, which I assume is a secure site, through that VPN, I should be fine from anybody picking my password, et cetera, off the airwaves.
Yes.
Okay, fine. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rob. All right, phone lines open, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's a toll-free number if you're out there in Harrisonburg or Lexington, et cetera. Dial us up, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, or even further away, because you can listen to this program over the Internet as well. All right, Aaron Paula, question. We talked about your role with UVA Community Credit Union, and I saw you both sort of nod your head when Rob asked about secure banking.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I read on your website made me think that pretty much all banking online is secure. Is that true or not true?
There's some things you want to look for when you're on a website to make sure that it is secure. So in the web address, first of all, you want to make sure it's a known address, so something that you've seen before and it is logical and it makes sense to where you need to be. And also at the header, you should see an HTTPS as part of the address, and that S will indicate that you're on a secure website.
As opposed to just HTTP?
Correct. And so before you put any personal information online, whether you're shopping or doing your internet banking or your bill pay online, you want to make sure that S is there. And in the bottom right-hand corner of your screen, you want to look for a lock or key that also indicates that the site is encrypted. And if you run your mouse over, a little window will pop up that will tell you your encryption level. You want to make sure you do check that little mouse check, because some criminals have found out how to graphically represent those locks and keys in the bottom of your screen.
Those evil bastards.
So before you do anything with your personal information online, including credit card numbers or account numbers or passwords, you want to make sure you see that information on the screen you're looking at.
All right. I got a call from George in Richmond. Hey, George.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, man. Bring it on.
Yeah, well, I'm not a computer owner, so I don't have those problems. But I keep hearing about this service called LifeLock.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you know anything about it and how it works.
Just what I've read from the LifeLock website, they will protect your privacy or your identity, and it's a service. It'll give you ID theft insurance. And also, if you suffer identity theft, their staff will help you get out of it. Because it takes, I don't know, the statistics vary, but you'll see, you know, you have to spend like a week out of work and so much money to get yourself back in the right again once you've suffered identity theft. And so LifeLock is a company that offers some identity theft protection in that regard.
Okay, so they don't prevent it as much as they protect you from what happens.
Yeah, it's a service that happens, after. I'm sure that they give you plenty of counseling. There's plenty of information to help you prevent it. I would warrant that most identity thefts happen due to improper security. So it's something that you're not doing, some negligence that a person is undertaking that causes the identity theft.
Okay.
Super.
Well, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
And thanks, George. We're going to get into that in a little bit, too, because we're not just talking about computer issues here, though. A lot of identity theft comes in other manners. But let's get Sean from here in Charlottesville. Hey, Sean.
Hey. I'm in Richmond now, my question is, I've got a boat and going offshore and computing with Wi-Fi. If you're entering different areas all the time, if you're moving around, I guess that's not very secure from what I'm hearing y'all. Unless you want a lawyer to check out everything at every region you drive into. What about going with Sprint, getting a Sprint card or something, a laptop? Is that secure, and is there a phone company that's more secure than another?
I really can't talk about the security of the various internet service providers. As far as I know, one is as good as the other. I can't.
You can get a Sprint card for your laptop versus doing Wi-Fi in somebody's tea shop or coffee shop. Is there AT&T how secure are those? It's a cell conversation, you can pick the airwaves up. People have the capability of doing that, and you lose information that way.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't get half of that.
He's talking about using a card, like an AT&T card or Sprint card, inserted into your laptop rather than connecting through Wi-Fi. And is that more? Is that safer?
Yes, that is definitely safer.
All right.
So that would be the way. I guess it's a $50 a month fee, but that's a lot more secure than using the Wi-Fi.
Yes, absolutely. You're dealing with a corporation who's setting up the network at that point, as opposed to just anyone setting up a home network or a business network.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Sean. All right, so you guys are saying that, from what I gather from that, because I can't leave my home in the woods to use my computer. Even the lovely people at Tiger Fuel won't let us on the internet except to the home office. I have to plug in. You're telling Sean to plug in to get a network card rather than hook Wi-Fi for answer to his question about which is safer. Although it may not necessarily meet the needs of everyone else. In his question, a network card is more secure than hooking up to the coffee shop Wi-Fi.
Right, and there are different technologies. One technology is for a local area network to have a wireless, and so you probably have a couple hundred feet of wireless network. What he's talking about is a wireless network that extends through a region, and that's offered, I think, through AT&T and maybe Sprint. And so, your security is definitely better using that.
All right. We are here on WNRN's Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, talking with Aaron Paula Thompson from the UVA Community Credit Union, Marty Peterman, an IT security officer at University of Virginia. 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's toll free. We're getting a lot of calls out of the Richmond area. Come on, give me some props out of the Lexington folks. 95.9. That's 979-0919. Let me thank Blue Ridge Graphics for their support today. Blue Ridge Graphics is at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom t-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. All right, let me go back a little bit to to some of the non-cyber issues, because we touched on that a little bit with, I think, George talking about how to protect your identity, identity theft that doesn't come from online mistakes. Now, Aaron Paula, talk about that a little bit.
Actually, there are a lot of ways that identity theft can happen. One of the most common ways is just through theft in your home or from your vehicle. Somebody takes your purse or your wallet. Also, through the mail, we've seen issues where it used to be that you could go to the post office and fill out a change of address form without any ID. So bad guys were going in, changing an address, and then all mail was being forwarded. And I think consumers were a little relieved because they weren't getting bills, but they were also giving away all of their account numbers. And there's also mail about sending out your mail, because unless you bank online, most of what people send out through the mail is bills, which have checks included, which have account numbers and routing numbers, along with the account numbers for their creditors. So making sure that you keep yourself protected and your private information secure physically is a really important factor to this.
Can you give me an idea about the statistics, just the average number of people, one person out of 100, one person out of 1,000, one person out of 1,000,000 who has identity theft? Any clue?
Well, between the two of us, Marty and I, I've been a victim of identity theft.
Have you really?
Yeah.
And I've also received a letter that my information has been breached. So in this population right here, how about you, Rick? Have you been?
I guess I got a letter, I think, from my bank that said I was one of those accounts where they stole the, where they breached and gathered all the information. But I haven't had actual. Well, you know what? That's not true. I had to change my Discover card like a year ago because somehow somebody got it in. Put $500 worth of baby stuff on it. And they said, you don't have a baby, do you? So that's true. I did. Someone did. No, it didn't. Wasn't. I didn't feel like it was true, my definition of identity theft, because I didn't have to do anything other than get a new card from Discover, and Discover swallowed the purchase.
The FTC definition of identity theft is actually to use any part of your personal and private information to commit fraud or any unintended transactions on your behalf.
Really? So out of the three of us, two of us have had it happen to us, and the third party, Marty,
I haven't had it happen. I've just been told that my information has been breached.
Yeah.
And so the definitions can skew the statistics. Something that's useful is to delineate between credit card fraud and identity theft. Credit card fraud is when someone uses your credit card number, to illicitly buy goods, services, whatever, as opposed to identity theft, when someone opens up a credit account.
Right, that was my definition.
Yeah.
That's how I separated the two out.
Yeah.
But Aaron Paula, you're telling me that the way it's currently defined, I would also have been...
The current definition is
counted as identity theft.
The current definition is very broad, and it really depends on who the third-party creditor is you're working with. My instance was somebody opened two cell phones with my name and Social Security number and ran up $1,500 in cell phone charges. And I still want to know where you can call for $1,500 in 30 days, but that was considered identity theft by the third-party creditor.
979-0919. Dial up. Lots of interesting questions and comments today, and Doug got it all started with whether or not his phone was tapped. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is toll-free from wherever you might be located. You know, one of the things that I found interesting from your website, whoswatchingcharlottesville.org, is that identity theft wasn't a federal offense until 1998.
Yes, that's correct. And in fact, Aaron Paula has an interesting story before it was a crime.
Yeah, there was an instance where a couple had their identity stolen, and the criminal bought firearms, received mortgages, ran up credit, and called his victim to actually taunt him, because at that time it was not an offense. And he was finally captured and spent time in prison only for making a false statement to procure a firearm. And he never made any restitution to the victim. And it actually took the victim and his wife 4 years and $15,000 of their own money to restore their name and credit.
Oh, my gosh. We did get a call from someone who didn't want to go on air. She's had her identity stolen, her kid's identity stolen, her Social Security number stolen, her grades at UVA stolen. Her suggestion, don't bother with online banking at all. Far too dangerous. Also, have low withdrawal ceilings on your credit cards. Now, I have my credit card set for if you make a purchase over $200 or $300, that they send me an email that says, you know, this happened on this day for this vendor. Is that what you want?
Yes, that's great.
Yes.
But, Aaron Paula, you nodded several times throughout the program when somebody said they were doing online banking, and you nodded as though that's the way to go. And you said a few minutes ago about the danger in mailing, physically snail mailing, your bills and how they could be stolen this way. And this caller is saying, don't bother with online banking at all. Far too dangerous.
I actually am a huge proponent of online banking. A lot of online bills go through what's called an ACH payment, which is an electronic payment to your creditor. Using snail mail to send your bills, you have no guarantee of how many people touch that envelope from the time it leaves your hand until the time the money clears your account. So there are numerous people who have access to that information. So I do feel that online banking is much more secure.
All right. Dial us up and call her. That is awful, and I don't know if you've managed to secure everything again and begin to move forward with your life, but I certainly hope so.
I'd like to point out there is a website, annualcreditreport.com, and the FTC recommends that you verify your credit report with all three agencies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, at least once a year. You get a free copy. Looking at your own credit will not drive down your score. But those of you who have kids, make sure you're checking your kids' reports, too. As they grow older, this is a great thing to do with them so that they kind of get in the habit of doing it themselves. But one of the best ways to catch identity theft is early. So check your balances online. Check your credit reports on a regular basis, and make sure you don't see anything squirrely going on.
Yeah, Rick, when you mentioned the children from that caller, there's also a medical identity theft also where individuals get their medical record numbers stolen, and then medical services are sought using that number. And then
really?
Yeah.
I had never heard of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a case.
I guess people will do anything for anything.
Yeah, there was a case in the news last year where a mother and father brought home their child from the hospital, and 6 weeks later they ended up with all these strange bills for services that had nothing to do with this infant.
Huh. All right, 11:39 here on the wake-up call. Marty Peterman, IT security officer at UVA. Aaron Paula Thompson from the UVA Community Credit Union, as we're here talking about personal privacy, not just cyber privacy, but other identity theft. Dial us up, 979-0919, currently in use, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free line, no matter where you are.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, everyone's heard of Hogwaller, but do you know where or what it really is? The Hook takes a tour through an often maligned but just as beloved part of old Charlottesville. Get the latest info on the folks accusing a local police officer of nearly running them over and then being taken to trial themselves. And just how large a home can be built under a conservation easement designed to save the area landscape. Folks at Turner Mountain Woods are about to find out. The Hook. Oh gosh. It's a highlight of every Thursday. And let's thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for being around. You can find out what's going on this fall in the Blue Ridge from trail runs to guided hikes, and you can shop for season's gear at brms.com. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. You can find them at Wintergreen and in Richmond. And I know you wouldn't, but don't go anywhere at noon. Join Drew Thompson for Les Temps Purdue, the best of 80s and 90s alternative. No Lover Boy, no Heart, no REO Speedwagon. Jeez. But you will hear Blondie and Moby, Love and Rockets, and Request, always welcome. We love Les Temps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, let's get back in action here with Aaron Paula and Marty Peterman. One of the things that that caught my attention off the website, and I copied this, laptops, cell phones, Blackberries, PDAs, many thieves now admit to stealing computers and pricey mobile devices, not for the machine itself, but for the information stored on them.
Absolutely. From a corporate perspective, your laptop goes from anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000. The cleanup for after information has been breached will be much, much higher.
I'm curious, again, there are multiple tips on the whoswatchingcharlottesville.org website, and everyone who has the least bit of interest in this program should hit that website.
Absolutely.
Full of tips for yourself,
definitely,
for in whatever manner, whether it's cybersecurity, private security, for your kids, for work, for home, et cetera. But one of the things that caught my attention is what makes a good password? And I think we all know what makes a bad password, because you hear that a lot if you're involved, you know, if you have a computer, whether you have it at home or at work. A bad password being don't use your birthday, don't use your social security number.
Or password.
But what makes a good password?
Well, you have two factors in making good passwords.
And how do you keep them all separated? Because every site that you go, all the important sites require a password.
Right, right. And and so there are two factors involved. One is length, one is complexity. And so length is the number of characters in your password. Complexity is the number of different characters, non-word characters, non-alphanumeric characters. And so you don't want to make your password look like a word. You want to make it longer. What I do personally is I have a random string of letters and numbers, and then I add some, punctuation marks and strange characters at the end of it.
So yours looks like a bad word that I'd see in a comic strip?
Yeah, that's kind of similar to what it might look like. And then what I do is, and so you asked me this question, well, what do you do when it's time to go and use a password as a site? Well, you have your, what you do is you keep a central password, and then you riff off of that password so that if you're going to use it to register for a blog, so you can post to the blog, and it's really not that important, maybe you don't need to keep it as long. You just have different levels of password for different levels of risk, and also in regards to what you're protecting. Certainly, the password for my work systems looks a lot different than my password to read about sports teams or post about sports teams or whatever. Facebook is another one where there's not that much information up there.
The caller who didn't want to come online or on air earlier, by the way, you can send IM questions, WNRN Studio, and the little IM box pops up on the screen next to me. The caller who talked about having her identity stolen and her kids and not doing online banking at all says that patience is a virtue. Get everything in person at the credit union. She's disgusted at credit card companies who encourage everything over the phone. It's your own responsibility to protect yourself. Now, granted, everybody in the room is going to agree with that last line. That's one of the things that we've tried to make clear, whether or not I've done a good job at letting you two do that today, I don't know. But, Aaron Paula, as someone who is representing the UVA Community Credit Union, what do you say about the earlier part about getting everything in person at the credit union and not doing things over the phone?
If that is how consumers are most comfortable, that is why we have branches open and operating and fully staffed, is so that we can support folks who don't want to go online and don't want to pay their bills through the internet. We would never say that that's what you have to do. There are financial institutions out there that don't even have a building or have a staff, and that's not what we want to be or what we want to do. So whatever our community and our members are comfortable with is what we're going to provide.
All right, let's go back to a little bit to some of the cybersecurity. 979-0919, 1-877 9676762. That's 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, toll free, 979-0919 for those folks in the local area. I wanted to talk a little bit about spyware and adware. I know what spyware is. I don't know that everyone does. We've already gotten a couple calls from people who don't have computers in their home and were more related to personal identity questions. Can one of you give me a definition of spyware and adware and why they are dangerous to us?
Yeah, sure, Rick. Spyware is software that's attempting to get personal information from you. Most likely it's been installed on your computer without your knowledge. And adware is software that's trying to push ads in front of your face everywhere you click. And why are they dangerous? Well, spyware is certainly dangerous because it's trying to get your personal information.
Well, every computer has a like a little string of numbers and letters to identify it, right? Doesn't matter whether I'm using it, you're using it, but if it's coming out of my house and that's my computer and we go to this website that has some sort of software set up to identify it, they're going to do so, right?
Yeah, I mean,
is all of it bad?
No, well, there's a difference between identifying you and identifying your computer and identifying your personal information. There are series and different levels of numbers that go back and forth between you and another computer on the network or in the internet without having damage to your personal information. I don't want to get too technical about all these numbers. I mean, I'll turn into the big Uber geek that I already am on doing it publicly now.
There's no picture on radio.
thank you.
But those are, I mean, we seem to be classifying them all into bad things. Adware, bad.
Yeah, you know, the term for this is malware, right? Badware. And, you know, there are viruses, there are Trojan horses, there are logic bombs, there are worms. I mean, it's a big laundry list of software that's hurtful to us as consumers and citizens.
I found it interesting, and I don't remember if you even had statistics with it or not, on your website, whoswatchingcharlottesville.org, about how 80%, and I'm just fishing this number out of my head, 80% of people think that they can identify negative mail and mail that they shouldn't open, and I guess, what's the proper term for that?
for a negative phishing email, scam email?
Spam mail.
Oh, spam mail. Yeah,
I had obviously had one of my blurry moments where I can't. But people who can't identify, 80% of people think that they can identify that. But in reality, I guess whoever did this, whether you did it or some other group did it, it was more like 60% of people could really do it. So there's this 20% group who would open anything, and there's this other 20% who said, well, I would never open that, but then turned around and did it anyway.
Right. Well, you know, if you look at the email, the spam email or the phishing email, and view it just with your eyes alone, you'll be in trouble. You have to go a couple layers deeper than that to verify its integrity.
What happens if I know that if I get a spam mail and I open it, that I shouldn't click on the link because I never know where it's going to take me, and I never know what's going to happen from there. But is just opening that email, because I can't tell, do I know Rhonda from, NYNYC? Do I know her?
Yeah, you just know Rhonda in the seventh grade. Don't you remember her? The point is you need to know the sender and be expecting email from the sender. So those are two things you want to keep on your mind at all times. Now, you can get into trouble just by opening the email if your email client, whatever you use to read your email, is configured inappropriately. Some of them, you can dumb down the security settings so that attachments will automatically download, so scripts will run automatically when you click on the email. This is a bad thing to do.
All right, 11:52 on the wake-up call. Dial up. We got time for another question or two. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Aaron Paul, I'm curious as to what sort of educational system is out there, because I'm looking at your card here, Aaron Paula Thompson from the University of Virginia Community Credit Union, education specialist.
Exactly.
So does the credit union, is the Who's Watching Charlottesville organization, are you having, are you telling people to come to the party on December 10th because we're going to have this big setup and do what we're doing now? Do you go to the 10th grade class at Western Albemarle
to anybody who listens to me. We run a series of education seminars through the credit union on all financial literacy aspects. Identity theft is one of our most popular. We will host at our credit union branches. We have several of those coming up for 2008. We also will go out into the community. So if anybody wants specific information on any financial literacy topic, we do that. And we also partner with the Who's Watching Charlottesville.org to include cybersecurity and identity theft presentations. And we do talk in the schools and to personal groups too. So like I said, anybody who will listen, we're happy to come talk to them.
I got a question. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now, Marty?
Gotcha.
This is a caller who is giving a question directly to Aaron Paula. You're a strong proponent of online banking. Do you get your banking statements online or by mail?
We actually have what are called e-statements, which means when you sign up for these, you will no longer get a paper statement in the mail. We do not send your mail to your statement to your email address, though. What we actually do is send an email to you saying you can log on to internet banking and get your statement there. And it's kind of nice because then it's a PDF. We have 12 months worth of records. Most financial institutions who offer e-statements are going to have this. And you can download it, and so you can either save it to a computer, burn it to a disk, or you can print it out so you have the hard copy. But it keeps that hard copy from going through the mail.
All right. We got a caller. anonymous caller here on line two. Hey, caller.
Hi there. My question is related to spyware. If you suspect, if someone suspects that spyware may have been installed on their computer, are there any telling signs?
There may be, but most likely not. Understand that stealth is valued by the attackers. They want to get your information without you knowing about it. You would need to hire a computer professional or have one who is a friend to analyze the computer to see if it's been attacked.
Well, there's a specific quirk, and I don't know if either of you know anything about it, but when I go into my email and I type in my username, it never used to do this strange thing where it underlines the whole thing in like little red dots.
That's for your username?
Yeah.
That's strange.
It's very strange.
What's the email program?
Gmail.
It's in Gmail. It's underlining it in little red dots.
And it never did that before.
And what browser and what version of the browser?
It's an Apple, so I don't really...
Okay, so it's an Apple computer. I don't have the answer for you off the top of my head, but that sounds strange for me, and I'd be inclined to do a Google search on that to see if there's anything odd about it.
What are you gonna type in on your Google search for that? Red dots?
Red dots. You type in your browser, whatever browser you're using, and red dots, Gmail.
Security?
Security is a little too broad. And log on, red dots, Gmail. And,
okay.
Fortunately, there's tons of information on the internet to help yourself. How much of it you can use as a layperson, though, it will vary from one person to another.
Certainly.
I would investigate that. I've never heard of it before, so I would do it just out of curiosity.
Thank you all for having the show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
All right, 11:57 on the wake-up call. Aaron Paula Thompson from the University of Virginia Community Credit Union. By the way, if you live within all these various counties, you can go to the Community Credit Union. You don't have to be a University of Virginia member or married to one or otherwise blood-related. Marty Peterman, IT Security Officer at the University of Virginia, joining us today. 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. You can dial up. We'll see if we can squeeze you in with the last question. I'm curious if the two of you can just sort of go back and forth for a bit with some important tips for people. Phishing, I found this stat that I had pulled. 3.5 million Americans fell for phishing scams in 2006. Safety for kids, because a lot of the folks listening today are of the age that they have kids. So jump on it.
Sure. Use common sense. Number one thing. Number two thing we see people do is using their debit cards for purchasing on the internet, and that's not a really good idea. You should be using your credit card because there's more protection with your credit card than it is with your debit card. For parents out there, if you have children old enough to use the internet, the computer needs to be in a public place in your home.
Another one is be aware of what's going on around you. A lot of technology, such as cell phones that take photos and video clips. I've heard of cell phones taking 8-second video clip, and that's about how long it takes me to put in my PIN at an ATM machine. So check your balances and check your credit card transaction activity. So really be aware of what's going on with you, your information, and what's going on around you.
Absolutely. AnnualCreditReport.com. Take a look at your credit report.
If your mail doesn't come, you still have to pay your bills and check with the post office to find out what's going on.
Keep all your software up to date. If you can set the software to automatically update, do it.
I appreciate y'all coming on today. Obviously, a show that caught the interest of many people. I think we should probably do this again and update our show sometime maybe in the next 6 months, certainly within 2008. Thank you very much for spending your Sunday with us today.
Thank you, Rick. We'd love to come back.
Well, thank you very much.
Marty Peterman and Aaron Paula Thompson, who'swatchingcharlottesville.org. You have been listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. The infamous Drew Thompson up next with Les Temps Perdue.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.